Esme Sweeza, aboard Rascal, would have gnawed her knuckles if that wouldn't have been too obvious to the crew. First, Lavati chewed her out for something that wasn't her fault, and then attempted a clumsy reparation. That didn't seem like the suave, charming commander she'd last seen at Sector 7 HQ, but anyone could have a bad day. Then that strange message from Harris Serrano's old crew. She had no idea what was going on, but she had forwarded the message from Vigilance to Harris Serrano. Everyone had heard about Commander Serrano's former crew. She didn't know them well, but she had met them, most recently when Lavati invited the captains of the convoy onto the cruiser for a final toast before departure. She wondered how Petrus felt about serving under another captain, but that had made her think of Baron, so she pushed the thought aside. Now she was faced with a command decision. Commodore Admiral Minor Lavati had ordered her to hold station in this system while he went back for another convoy. Esteban Koutsoudis, himself a legend of technical expertise, had passed on Petrus Kenvenard's request that she follow Lavati instead, shadow him, and report all navigational information back to Serrano by encrypted Ansible flashes. An admiral's order against a warrant officer's request should have been no contest. Her gut churned.
Why am I even considering this?
If nothing was going on, if Serrano's friends were just overreacting to some personality quirk of their new commander, she would have no excuse at all for what she was thinking of doing. If no one discovered, but of course it would be discovered if only afterwards, and then the court-martial and the disgrace, and with things as they were at home, she tried to put that out of her mind, or at least on one side. If she disobeyed orders and nothing was wrong with Lavati, she'd be court-martialed. That was the worst that could happen.
No.
If mutineers came into the system where she wasn't keeping station, that would be another evil come from her decision. But if Lavati had lost it, if he'd gone crazy, or, worst case, if Lavati was a traitor, then if she obeyed his orders, she'd be helping him. If she acted on her own initiative to follow him, she might, if he didn't realize she was there, be able to foil whatever plan he had. If he did realize it, Vigilance could blow Rascal into confetti. Perhaps not easily, but certainly.
Where is the greater danger?
Surely, in Lavati as traitor, loose with a cruiser full of weaponry. And crew, some of whom were definitely loyal.
What will happen to them? If Lavati goes over to the mutineers, perhaps the Benignity.
She liked Commodore Lavati. He had been, to this point, a good commander, insofar as she had the experience to judge. He had listened respectfully to Captain Timmons's objections to the convoy arrangement. He phrased his orders clearly. They had delivered the convoy safely.
Maybe a mutineer? Or a traitor? Or crazy?
She wasn't on the ship with him, and had not been for weeks. Things changed. People changed.
Have Harris Serrano's friends changed?
She could imagine Petrus, who loved Harris Serrano, making a mistake about Lavati because he loved Harris and Lavati wasn't Harris. Methlin Mahari, concerned about her brother, might overreact.
Not Oblo.
Oblo, battered and scarred and completely unawed by any circumstance, she could not imagine changing. He might be wrong, but he wouldn't go crazy. And his instinct for trouble, for wrongness, was legendary. Harris trusted Oblo. Esme trusted Harris. She would also trust Oblo. She ignored the flaws of formal logic in that emotional syllogism. Now to convince her own officers that she wasn't crazy or traitorous.
Would they believe the truth? Or should I concoct a cover story? Suppose a secret exercise in, say, stealth technology?
She worried at the idea, tugging out its possible fibers and trying to make a plausible reason why a patrol ship might shadow a cruiser against the orders of an admiral. Petrus had finally begun talking to bridge officers, like Lieutenant Foucault, trying to prepare them for possible trouble.
Can you tell where he's taking us?
Ultimately, no. He's jumping us in and out of systems with multiple routes. Someone trying to trace us would quickly have more options than anyone could follow up. Yet we're still in Familia's space. He says he's got secret orders. If it weren't for you, I'd believe him.
If I'm wrong, Lieutenant, I'll fess up. But I don't think I am. He made a tight beam communication to an Ansible in the system we just passed. And according to the comm watch, it was addressed to one of a list of reportable addresses he'd gotten just before we left Sector HQ.
Damn it. I can't believe he'd be so stupid.
I think he's desperate. I can't imagine why either, but we have to be careful.
I will be. I hope our tail's with us.
You and me both.
Esme could feel the increasing tension in her own crew as they followed Vigilance for jump after jump.
I don't understand. Where are they going?
We don't know, but we're finding out.
It's ridiculous, this course. Where could he be heading?
Esme did not tell him what Petrus had relayed of his suspicions, though she did encode it for the next tight beam she sent. Another jump, this one into an uninhabited system. Vigilance had entered at low relative V this time, and now decelerated still more. Rascal stayed closer for a couple of hours, during which Esme sent off the new data.
He's been jumping end on end or clearing a system within 70 minutes. I wonder what he's waiting for.
From the expression on her navigation officer's face, he was reconsidering her original explanation, as well as Lavati's course.
We're on the border, Captain. He can reach Benignity space in one jump from here, if that's where he's going.
Look, we can't just let him cross. That's handing them one of our newest cruisers and the crew.
We don't know for sure that's what he's up to. Right now, he's not doing anything. But that's a possibility.
Is that what it's been all along, Captain? Did you suspect something?
I wouldn't have, but for Harris Serrano's old crew aboard Vigilance. They tight-beamed me that he was acting oddly. They didn't understand, but they were worried.
Worried enough to risk court-martial. I hope you're right, Captain.
I hope I'm not. I'd much rather be wrong and in trouble than faced with a traitor admiral in command of a ship like that.
So what are we gonna do? If he jumps and we follow him over the border, then...
He could start a war. I know that. Weapons, tell me what we have that could take Vigilance.
Take a cruiser? That cruiser? And survive? We couldn't, Captain. I mean, if they really don't know we're here, we might get some shots up the bustle, just as you did at Xavier. But Stern shields have been beefed up since then, though, and we might not get through in one salvo. In which case, Vigilance would blow us away and go skipping off where she liked.
And slipping into docking distance and trying to hold if she was running up to a jump would also blow us all. Keep working on it. We're going to have to stop that ship somehow. And I prefer to defend my actions in court rather than have one convened on a lot of debris and corpses.
You could contact him directly.
I don't think so. If I had another ship to box him with, I'd try it. But he's an Admiral Minor. Suppose he decided to come back. He could do it as an Admiral dragging in a subordinate who had disobeyed orders. And then run another time, with another ship. No? If he starts running to jump, I'll challenge and fire on him if I have to.
What if he builds speed by micro-jumping?
We're more agile, and faster. The problem's not going to be catching him, but how to hold him when we have. I just hope he's not waiting for reinforcements, for some Benignity ship to arrive and give him an escort. We should be able to do enough damage to one ship to prevent its taking off, but two? That'll be harder.
The hours passed. Esme tried to stay calm, tried to think, but felt her nerves drawing tighter with every minute that passed. He could just jump. Unlike a civilian ship, Vigilance could make a blind jump this far from a jump point and hope to come out in real space somewhere near its intended destination. Lavati had to be worrying about pursuit, had to feel, with that commander's instinct, that he was in danger.
What if he isn't waiting for a contact? What if he's waiting for a specified number of hours and might hop out again at any moment?
Esme's eyes felt gritty with sleeplessness, but she dared not leave the bridge and try to nap. Whenever he did something, she would have to act instantly. Commodore Admiral Minor Lavati leaned close to the scan desks. Kutsudas could smell the faint odor of his nervous sweat.
Are you sure there's nothing out there?
Sir, I'm not finding anything.
The scan computers had been told that Rascal did not exist. Every few hours, they kicked up a query, and every few hours, he reassured them. Nothing is there, ignore it. He'd just dealt with the query again when Lavati came on the bridge. Kutsudis hated direct lying, but evasion didn't bother him.
I have a feeling. You know that itch you get between your shoulders when you know someone's looking at you?
Yes, sir.
I don't want to fall into any mutineer traps.
No, sir. Me neither. And I don't see any sign of mutineer ships or any other ships. System's clean, sir.
You're the best, Kutsudis. If they were there, you know. How long have you been on duty?
Sir, you said you were worried, so I came on early. I've been coming on at every insertion and down jump, just in case.
Ah, good man.
Levati turned away. Kutsudis busied himself with the scan system. Suiza was still there, yes. But if Levati was making deals with the Benignity, he didn't want a flotilla of Black Scratch ships jumping in on top of them. He'd experienced that in the Xavier system. Once was enough. The hours passed, and Levati did not call for another jump. Instead, he paced back and forth, back and forth. He left the bridge for only moments at a time. Kutsudis went off for a short nap, but he couldn't really sleep. When he came back, he stared at the display, wondering what would happen next. He wished Levati would change his mind, be what he'd always thought the man was, a fine fleet officer, pleasant and competent and thorough.
What the...
Then he stiffened. There, far away from the system's mapped jump point, a curious ripple in the scan, as if someone had dropped a very small pebble into the far edge of a pond. He snatched that input for his station.
Sir!
What?
Levati stayed across the bridge from him, where he'd been listening to some engineering reports, but Keller, the exec, came over to look.
Something coming in, sir, and not at the jump point. At least I think it is. It's too far away. Could be an FTL trace.
Levati came nearer.
Direction?
Unclear. It's skipping. It's definitely an FTL trace. Someone with a badly tuned drive. Just sort of hitting the surface of normal space and bouncing back out.
Can you tell anything about mass?
Not yet.
Kutsudis watched the screens. The two other scan techs on watch leaned toward him.
Benali, Vince, watch your own screens. There could always be more than one thing going on. I've got this.
Rascal's scan officer, lacking Kutsudis's personal additions to standard equipment, identified an arriving ship minutes after Kutsudis did.
Something coming in, Captain.
Esme looked at the scan and saw the familiar pattern of a badly tuned FTL drive just skip-jumping through. Was it even bound for this system? It didn't come in like she thought Serrano would, a clean downjump. It could be a Benignity ship, come to lead Levati away. She had to do something.
Bring us to Red.
Those sitting first at the positions raced to put on pea suits, while their seconds acted. Chief Humberley held her pea suit ready. She stepped backwards into it. The firsts, suited now, returned to their places, and the seconds went to suit up.
Weapons ready.
That would light up Vigilance's scan displays. At least their shields were already active. She turned to her comm officer.
Get me a type beam to Vigilance.
Kutsudis, trying desperately to dissect the fluttery scan signal into something he could identify, he hoped very much it was not a Benignity ship, was shocked when the warning red flashers showed live weapons in close proximity, where scan showed no ship at all.
What?
Too close for the in-jumping ship, too close, and no ship icon.
Suiza.
It had to be Suiza, bringing her weapons live. But Kutsudis had no idea why.
What have you...
Commodore! There's a tight beam message from RSS Rascal. Suiza commanding.
Suiza? That stupid... What does she think she's doing? Kutsudis, you are relieved. I don't know if you're exhausted or a liar, but you let a pissant lieutenant crawl up our tail. Get to your quarters. I'll deal with you later. Pipe that message to my office.
Kutsudis, more shaken than he'd ever been, shook his head at the second, luckily one of the old crew, who came to relieve him.
I didn't see it. I swear I didn't see a thing. It's not there.
Go on, Stepan. You're exhausted. It'll be all right.